It's great for all of us to be back home, and we're thankful that we are back. As Reverend Dave led us, we read that verse. You know, let's read that verse one more time together again. Let's read it all together. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. That's the essence of the gospel for us. When we are in Christ, I am a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. The person I am today is not the person I will be tomorrow. And that is good news. In Christ, there is always the possibility of a new beginning. That is the truth that we live by. But many times, that change is not easy. We just came back yesterday from Sioux Valley, and we're very thankful for all the prayers and support that we received from the church. We couldn't have done it because it's the church that sent us out. Sioux Valley is a community located in the southwest area of Manitoba. It's a little tucked away corner there, closer to the border of Saskatchewan. And so this year, there were 7 members from London Korean Christian Church that joined the 27 of us to make a total of 34 people. And we have a photo from our first day there. Nope, the one before that. The group photo? Yes, there we go. With our banner, Power to Change, and everyone in their t-shirts, all 34 of us. For our church, it was our second time going there. You know, June Song and Sarah Park from our KSM, they went there for many years, 2002 to 2015, I believe, for every year they went with their old church. And 2016, they came to our church, and that mission stopped for a while. And then 8 years after the last one, we went last year, 2023. And last year, we had a great experience there. We formed really good bonds with the kids, the youth, the adults. It was a very special, meaningful time. But a whole year had passed. Many things happen in a year. Think about your own life. So many things in 1 year. And so we weren't sure what it was going to be like this year. Would they even remember us? This year, due to unfortunate events, no one really knew that we were coming. The main office, they circulate emails to the community, but that email didn't get sent out until the day after we arrived. So as soon as we arrived on Monday, we got to Sioux Valley around 4:30 p.m. We quickly unpacked. We made dinner, and it's a bigger team this year. Last year we had 23, this year 34. So a lot more mouths to feed. So we made dinner, we ate, and then as soon as we finished, we went out door knocking, right, into the community to get as many houses as we could. And so we weren't sure about how that was going to go. And Sioux Valley, nowadays, not many people knock on people's doors. And so the ones that did open, they kind of like look out the window first, like, who's knocking on my door? So when they saw us, some of them opened, and immediately we introduced ourselves. Hi, we're the Koreans from Toronto. We were here last year. Because that's how they got to know us. They didn't know us as St. Timothy or whatever. We are just simply the Koreans from Toronto, right? So that's what we use. We owned it. Hi, we're the Koreans from Toronto. We're back. We were here last year. And you know what, though? Most of them remembered us. And as soon as we said that, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember you guys, right? Or, oh, really? Yeah, I heard of you guys. And then their faces immediately changed. So that was very encouraging. So Tuesday was our first day of programming, beginning with lunch, and then we'd have children's and youth activities and adult worship, and then dinner and evening programs. So that first day, over 100 people showed up, from kids all the way to adults. It was a little overwhelming, right? This is just our kids' worship. Yeah, you could see a lot of kids. And So we realize the seeds of love that were planted last year, they bore some fruits of change in kind of the immediate warm reception and in the immediate turnout. We even recognize a lot of the kids there. They've grown so much in a year. A lot of them, they can eat really well. So the way they amount they grow, it's pretty crazy. So things were off to a great start. That was Tuesday. But then on Tuesday, late afternoon, we received some news, right? We were in the main hall, right? That's where they have their big community events, and that's where we can do everything. We sleep there, eat there. But the main hall that we were using, we had to vacate it for a funeral that they were going to hold on Thursday. So it was Tuesday, so we had to vacate it the next day, Wednesday, by 3 p.m. And so he asked Sarah, where are you guys going to stay? We're like, where are we going to stay? What are you talking about? We have no other place to stay. This is it, right? So I think they felt really bad for us. So they opened up their community center for us, which is a small room, less than the size of our fellowship hall, maybe, or around that size. And I mean, we were kind of lucky because they don't really let many people use it, but they said, okay, you can use that. And you can stay there. And then then the church that was on the community, because that's not big enough for everything. So the thing is, we had to, the kitchen team had to pack everything, like all the food, pots, you know, pans, like things like that. And then our drivers had to transport all that. And then tables and chairs had to be moved. And it was a big operation. And so we ended up feeding people at the community center. I think we have a picture for that. Yeah, so that's the community center. You can see kind of a lot of people crammed in, so we even had to rotate people in and out. A lot of adjustments. And then the following day, Thursday, the kids had to do their program. It was so hot. But they took all the kids to the non-air-conditioned church and did their programs there, as well as a park outside. So as you can imagine, it's very hot, very tiring. And meanwhile, the park, we needed more chairs and tables for crafts, so the adults, loading that up and transporting all of that, it was extremely tiring. And with all the change, I think people, you know, they got confused too. So the first day, we had an amazing turnout. And then, but the numbers is starting to get affected because of all this. And not on top of that, a lot of our young people started to become sick. And so we had to make in the corner where all our stuff is an infirmary almost. It's like a cot so that kids could lie down. That's the part that kind of started to break my heart. You know, we were here to do God's work and to serve, but our young people are getting sick from all the work. And at one point, I was even tempted. I just wanted to just stop everything, you know, so they can mend and heal. But for me, at least, I guess I got a message that I received. It's that change does not come easily. Any change, it's so hard. I felt like God was telling me that. And so I reflected on the challenges we were going through. And that made me reflect on the challenges that the people in Sioux Valley face. For us, in our short time there, yeah, we faced some immediate obstacles. I came to realize the people who live there, every day seems to bring a new challenge for them. The very first day that we were there, one of our friends, an old friend of Sarah and June's, she came to on the first day to be with us. And she shared how her nephew, whom she raised as a son from the time he was a child, he died in a car accident last week. He was a teacher in the Sioux Valley High School. And he knew the history and the customs of his people, and now they lost a role model and someone who was there. So we held a worship service that day. And, you know, a lot of these people, they've been through so much that by now, they don't easily express their emotions. There is a lot of pain and a lot of suffering there, but it's just kind of there. But we had a time of preaching the word and sharing and prayer, and that's when she started sobbing, right? For the loss and the grief, and I think just everything else that was compounded. The next day, when the programming started, one of the boys, discovered that he had lice in his hair. So unfortunately, I had to remove him and send him home, because just for the sake of other kids and our mission team members. And I felt really bad because he had been having such a good time. He was playing, he was laughing and smiling. And so when I broke the news to him, I was expecting disappointment. But instead, all he said was, okay, and no reaction. I was taken aback. Because he's around the same age as Junie, my son. I mean, if Junie was having, when he's having a great time and playing and laughing with the kids, and I try to stop him and say it's time to go home, do you think he takes that well? No. He'll protest and complain. Oh, I want to play more. He expects. He has that desire. So it made me wonder, what has this boy gone through that he doesn't expect anything? How many disappointments has he faced where he's not even disappointed anymore? And another young man that we met last year, we kind of grew fond of him. He's 25 years old now. And he came last year, and he attended one of our worship services. And in the prayer time, he was really moved. I could tell. He got emotional, and the message and the prayers really hit him. So I was really happy that he came again. He came to our worship service. And during that time, when we had some sharing time, I got to speak with him at length. And this guy, I mean, I really admire him. He's gone on kind of that straight and narrow path. He's avoided anything like alcohol, drugs, and going through a lot of issues. And he shared all his peers that he went to school with. A lot of them are gone. Either some of them committed suicide, or they got into drugs, and who knows where they are. There's no one left. But he's trying, and he's living with his girlfriend and her three children, and he's trying to be a responsible figure. And he's got a job, and there's a lot of like little politics there, but trying to wade through that. And so during prayer time, he broke down again. And he's saying, I want to be strong. I don't want to be weak like this, through his tears. He's trying to hold it together, but just sharing how it's so hard, especially when life all around him, it's just full of chaos. These are only a few stories. Everyone else, you talk to them, they will have their own stories from people that they talk to. In our own surrounding, any one of these stories, it would be a wild story. And it would be something so exceptional. And our community is great. We would band around that and support it. But I'm not exaggerating in saying that these stories are everyone's stories in that community. There is not a single individual and family in that community that is not affected in some way by things like this. I mean, it's not a large community. 1,400 people that live on the reserve. Another 1,400 who live elsewhere in cities like Brandon or whatnot. But every single one, whether they live on the reserve or their lot who came from Brandon too. Everyone I talk to, they are all affected, and they've all experienced death. Death in their immediate circles. I mean, what does that do to you, right? So I realize underneath these endless stories of despair or addictions. Addictions is a huge issue right now. Crystal meth and things like that. All these stories of despair, addictions, abandonment, and death, I think, is the sense at the root that my life does not matter. I think that's what's really underneath everything. This message somehow that my life does not matter. It doesn't make any difference whether I am around or not. No one really cares anyways. Hearts are broken and shattered. And when they try to mend their hearts, something else will happen to re-break that heart. And so many people, after a while, they just give up trying to mend. Do you know what the most visible and significant result of a broken heart is? It's conflict and division in the community. That's how a broken heart manifests. And when you have a group of people or community of people who are all broken, the result is conflict and division. When you have not received proper love and care, how will you be able to do the same for others? Whether it's those even in your family or those outside. There's a lot of conflict and division in the community. And all this that we see is still an ongoing legacy of this history. I mean, really think about it. I started to really think about this. Residential schools and what they call the 60s scoop, where they took kids away from their families because someone deemed the family unfit to take care of the kids and send them far away to be adopted by someone else. What does that do? And to be sent somewhere else where you're taught basically that you and your people's way of life, it's uncivilized. It's it needs to be changed. These give you the message that, again, who I am, it does not matter. In fact, it's negative. And what does this do to the family? They go back home with this messaging over the years. How will the family stay intact? The family will be shattered. And once that's shattered, how does that ever get mended when that starts to spread and every family is like that? That's what we're up against. That's what is happening in these forgotten, tucked away communities like Sioux Valley. One reason that so many kids and youth came to us is because really there are no other programs for children and youth this summer. Literally no other programs like this. And the reason actually is there are community leaders. They want to do things. They want change. But when they try to organize something, it doesn't work out. And the main reason is because, oh, if one group of kids go, there's going to be another group that has major beefs with this group and they don't want to go. And so it just breaks down. They cannot bring their community together because there's so much brokenness that creates enmity and hatred. And seeing the other as my enemy, not my brother or sister. And leaders themselves in the community, we got to learn more. They're divided into factions too, because there's conflict. A lot of hurt. They're families that don't like other families. And there are Christians there too. Especially those who are a little older, who grew up in church, whatnot. Even the Christians there are not united. And they're kind of divided amongst themselves. My friends, change can only come when a community is united. When a community comes together with a common vision and a common desire for healing, to support one another, for change. Only the community coming together can figure out what to do about drugs and addictions, and the despair that so many young people feel. This change can only come when people's hearts are healed. The change they need is healing that will bring their community together. So yes, my heart was very heavy the whole time I was there. I mean, I started, how will change ever happen in this community? Even going to school is so tough. They have a school in the community from kindergarten to grade 6. And after, well, then I think this September, they're bringing the grade 7 and 8s back. But up to this past year, grade 7 to the end of high school, they get bused to Brandon, which is half an hour away. So to do that, you got to wake up so early, 6 a.m. or so, right? And then get bused there, spend a day, and then you get bused back. It's a long day. I'm sure for help parents here, it's hard enough to get your own kids up for school, right? But at least we have parents who will nag and get you out of bed and to school. But and honestly, a lot of them, it's not even parents. Whoever they live with, their kushi, which is grandma, or auntie, or uncle, if they themselves don't really care whether you go or not, how are you going to be self-motivated to get up that early and go to school? All these little things. So the only conclusion I can make is it really is only the power and grace of God that can change. I don't think there's anything else that can change but the grace and power of God and God's love. One of our prayers before this trip was that we can build some relationships with leaders in the community and those who are trying to do to make positive change. Because last year, we were so focused on our program that we got very close to those who came, like the kids and their families, and that was wonderful. But this year, we wanted to build some bridges beyond that, because we know there are leaders who care very deeply about their community. There are elders who in their own way, are very prayerful, who worry so much about their young people. We wanted to connect. And so God graciously did open up some doors. You know, a few of us, like Peter, Jenny, Lily, myself, we met some drug addiction and rehabilitation workers, and we got to learn more about them. And they brought some of the people they're helping, and they ate with us, and we got to know them more. I met the executive assistant of the Sioux Valley High School and got to learn more about what's happening there. And there's one lady who works in the family welfare child services department there, and she actually brought her grandson, because her grandson, COVID has also devastated the community too. A lot of these kids that grew so withdrawn, and so her grandson, very anxious, he doesn't want to really be around people and interact with people, just wants to stay home and be on his phone all day, but she brought him, and amazingly, he started to open up, and like, you know, with our mission team, young leaders, and he started to enjoy, laugh with the kids and whatnot. And she was very touched. And she then came to us and said, this is exactly the kind of stuff we were wanting to do here, but have been unable to do. So immediately she ordered like 300 water bottles and juice boxes and brought them over for us. And that was great. And then she said, because we want more of these things, we want to support you. So we will, from our organization, we get government funding. We will give you guys $5,000 for next year. So stories like this, I believe these are small ways, perhaps, that God is planting seeds for change. And one burden on my heart that really came crystallized for me this summer was for the youth of Sioux Valley. I mean, you know, the kids are still very, they when they sense love, they're so receptive. And that's why they're just clinging on to a lot of us. I mean, this is Grayson's first time there. You know, he was like the nurse for everyone. And it was one kid, girl, she was just bawling at the end. And she literally would not let him go, right? I mean, they soaking in the love. But then after a certain age, when they start to become preteens and teens, something changes in them, right? I don't know. Maybe they've experienced and witnessed too much lack of love and no trust, so they harden up. And so we saw that. And I think the elders are feeling that too. That's the age when they start to get into epidemic of drugs right now. And so right from our first evening, our friend, Dallas, she's with us, with another elder, and I think they're talking to Reverend Dave, and then Dallas, she beckons me over, right? So I go over, and without even saying a hello or anything, she's like, you need to send Reverend Pastor Dave over to be our youth pastor here, full time. I was like, whoa, okay. But what it means is, there's such a need for leaders and shepherds, pastors, for young people in Sioux Valley. There's a group of guys who came in and out throughout the week. You know, I mean, they liked it, you know. Yeah, this is like kind of some of them, right? Well, you know, and at first glance, they look kind of intimidating, right? Got their hoods on and just whatever. But you know, they're so young. They're like 12, 13, 14. They're still very vulnerable inside. So I don't know. I kept pestering them all week. Going up to them, just talking, yo, what's up, you know, you're like, just, I don't know, trying to be whatever. But hey, they kept coming, and the last night, too, they came. And on the last night, we did some performances, and then we sang, we got everyone to stand in a circle to sing the song One Voice together. And this time, I don't know, something hit me. I was like, I made a determination, nobody is going to not be in this circle. So those guys are just in, you know, I was like, everybody. And I went to those guys and I called them out. You guys should get in the circle. We ain't starting till you're in, right? And eventually we got them in too. You know, I think there's been nobody in their life to really force them to do something and be part of something. You know, I realized what we did, that is very close to their culture, indigenous circle, right? And for that was probably the first time they experienced something even of their culture like that. And so we sang. We sang One Voice. We had a time of fervent prayer. So I prayed for the youth as well. And after that, I went right to them. I prayed for them. I hugged them and I said, hey, I need you to take good care of yourself this year so that we can see you again next year. You promise me? So I got them to say, "Promise, yeah, all right, man." And I don't know. I force hugged them, and that's when I started to imagine the impact of something like a youth ministry can have. I mean, we've seen amazing fruits of our youth ministry at our church. Our wonderful, beautiful young people, right? The impact, a caring space where they listen to messages too. Of hope and a God who cares for us and a God who loves us so much that he would even die for us. These things are transformative. Change is so difficult. We all know that. Any change comes at a cost. And yes, the cost that God paid for us to change was him dying for us. That's our gospel. That's what enables us to carry on when we don't feel like we can carry on. Because of Christ, we can be healed and changed. I don't know personally what it will take for change to come to Sioux Valley, but I continue to pray that God may bring this change. We had our final worship service on Friday afternoon for the adults. After a good time of praying and whatnot, actually, for the first time, we did communion. And it was a wonderful time of being one in the presence of Christ and his grace. And it gave us at least some rays of hope that God can move, bring some healing, and bring some change. I'm thankful to our church for your prayers and your support. And I pray that we can be partners with the people of Sioux Valley Dakota Nation, so that God can bring real change in their hearts and in their community. Amen.